Let's just pray. Oh Vader, U is 'n goeie God, Here. En Here, ons wil U net kom eer daarvoor, Here. Father, thank you for the blessing that you are, Lord. Thank you for the testimony that we can give you the honor and glory for Candace's testimony, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when our heart is on you, Lord, that you make all these things fall into place, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are awesome, Lord. And Father, thank you for testimonies, Lord. And we just want to give you all the honor and glory, Lord God. Father, thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are changing people's lives, Lord. That we can come and say thank you, Lord, for that what you've done in my and our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us families, you've given us children and friends, that you've given us a future and a hope, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and know that in your presence things change, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, I pray, Lord God, that each one of us who has not really been taken into your presence, Lord, will come to that place where Paul wrote about this man who got taken up into the third heaven, that we will be one of those people who got taken up into the third heaven, Lord, to know and who heard inexpressible words being said about who we are, Lord. That we can come in that place and know and experience something different about who you are, Lord. That we will know that you are a real God, you're a powerful God, you're a God that influences nations and generations, Lord. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us, Lord. And as we draw near to you, Lord, and you've given us this promise that you draw near to us, Lord, that we'll see great and mighty things in your name, Lord. And as Dion had said, Lord, that greater things than you we will do, Lord. And I am excited to hear the testimonies of the greater things, Lord, of the people walking on water, Lord. And Lord, people getting saved, keep people getting healed, people's lives being transformed. People who are addicted to drugs, Lord, get set free. Lord, people who have AIDS get healed. People with cancer get healed, Lord. Because greater things than you we would do in your name, Lord, in the authority of Christ, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Het julle al gewonder wat God moet, hoe hy moet lyk? Hoe God die Vader moet lyk? What God must look like. Have you ever wondered about that? If God maybe has a big nose and a big beard, and that it's maybe a massive, massive man, but when you look at him, you see just the love in his eyes, or maybe you have experienced God and you think he's this very strict being and he's going to sort you out when you come in his presence. But it's not like that. God is different. And when you read in Isaiah, you read that Jesus was not something to look upon. That Jesus Christ was probably not a very attractive or a good-looking man when he dwelt on the earth. Have you ever wondered what they must look like? And I think for me, what was so amazing about Jesus' story, when you read Isaiah 53 and you realize that he was probably not a good-looking man, but he had such a presence that people followed him. That he was the friend of sinners. And they said he's a glutton and he's a drunkard. Because he could hang out. He was relevant to people. Now, that excites me. Because there was something in him that changed lives. There was something, a confidence in him. And just to add to Amu's sermon of last week, the confidence that Christ had. It wasn't because he had good looks or he had great muscles, or he could lift himself 25 times from the ground. What means it? Pull-ups. He could do. I can do 15. But it wasn't like that for him. He was different. There was something about him. But you know, look at the person next to you or behind you. There's something in that person that represents who God is. Because he says in Genesis 1, verse 27, that God created man in His own image, in the image of God He created them. So in each one of us, there's something about who God is. So when we look at people, we must get excited. And Stephen, you can say to Robert there, oh, you look like a father who is in heaven. There's something about God that is in all of us. We are not God, but there's something about Him that is reflected in who we are. And I think that really makes me very excited, because God said everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Amen. That person next to you, but more important, that person, John, you are very good. Because God had made you that way. And I think this is for all of us, for you, Anushka, that you are very good before God. That God is excited about who each one of us is. Doesn't matter what you think when you look in the mirror, that God is excited about who you are. And for me, when you, I just had this word predestined, and Romans 8 says that for those He, who God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son Jesus, in order that we might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. So God foreknew us right in the beginning. He predestined us to become who Jesus is. And that adds on to Dion's offering, and that He says greater things than what He did we would do. That is what we've been predestined from the beginning of time. God has chosen you, Tian, to become into the image of God and to do greater things than what God has done.
Hallelujah.
And I think that is something for us to really think about, because that's quite a big statement to make. Verse 30 says, and for those whom He predestined, He called. So you've been called, and He will justify you, and God will also glorify us.
Amen.
Then Ephesians 1 says, even as God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. So before God created the world, He already knew that you and who you were going to be and what He had destined for you. That's how carefully He planned the creation, that 6,000 years when He said, let there be light, He had you already in His mind. He had thought about you, your life, and what you are going to do one day. What you are going to achieve, He's got the plans for you. The plans, He's got a future and a hope for you. All those things God has already worked out in his mind. And He said, so that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love, He predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. So God's will and His purpose is for us to be His children, to walk into this massive, massive destiny that God had predestined before He even created the earth. Now that is a huge statement. And I think a lot with what Amu preached last week about confidence, to me that is just faith. Faith in God and faith in the Word of God and what God, the promises that God has given us. That there is a place of humility that we walk in, but it must not be false humility. Because false humility for me and pride is similar. It is, I put my trust in my own ability and not in who God is. And Jeremiah 17 says that, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the man who trusts in God, whose trust is the Lord. Now, when you go back to Moses, and a similar story that Amu could have used last week was, Moses was ready to go into the promised land. He sent 12 spies to go into the promised land to go and view the land of milk and honey. 10 came back. And in the world, they were humble men saying, no, we cannot do this. These giants are too big. They're going to destroy us. For us, it might seem like they were humble, but they were two men that were very confident, almost proud, said, no, we can take this land. God will give it to us. And those 10 men could not enter the promised land, but the two men who were confident in God's ability, they could enter the promised land. And when 40 years later, when they went in, Caleb said, I'm now ready for those giants as I was 40 years ago. When he was 80 years old, he was still ready to fight them because he knew who his God was. And this is where I really believe that God wants to take us as Christians to have that confidence, that faith in Him and change the world. And that God's heart, I spoke to Mariette yesterday, it's not only for us as individuals, but also for our families. But God wants to redeem our families and the generations to come. But not only our families, but also the Afrikaner people. And I think next week I'm going to preach in Afrikaans with the evening service. And I want to preach on that, where there's a destiny on the Afrikaner people to change the world. But we missed it somewhere. We thought we to change us and to better ourselves. But it's actually to change the world. And we're very similar to the Jews in many ways. But it's not only for the Afrikaner people, it's also for the Xhosa people and the Zulu people and the Welsh and all these different nation groups that God had predestined us for great things.
Amen.
And it's not my destiny, it's not bigger than France's destiny. It's different, but it's huge. And this is what I really believe God wants us to, where He wants to, us to go. But what prevents us from walking in our destiny? Why aren't we not doing greater things than what Jesus has done? Why don't we walk on water? Why don't we say to the mountain, in the name of Jesus, move, and it moves? Why doesn't it happen to us? And I believe the answer is in Zechariah 3 verse 1. I'm going to just look at the first 10 verses of Zechariah. In Zechariah 3 verse 1 it says, "Then he," that's God, "showed Zechariah, Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him." Now Joshua, his name is Yeshua in Hebrew, which is the same name that Jesus had. But when you look at John and Johann, it's the same name. It means Yahweh is salvation. God is my salvation. So this man was a real man. He was the high priest in the time of Zerubbabel. I don't know, you know that scripture that says, "Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit," says the Lord. That was said to Zerubbabel, who was the governor of Jerusalem at that time. So he was a real man, but it was also very prophetic, his name. That when he stood before him as the high priest, he was also representing what we were meant to be one day. That we are here to represent Jesus on this earth, to represent that God is our salvation, and that is what Jesus came to do for us. Then that we also are supposed to be priests, but also high priests before God. And when you look at Revelation 1 verse 6, it says God has made us a kingdom of priests to God the Father. Also talks about in 1 Peter, it talks about a royal priesthood, that we are called to be priests to represent God on this earth, all of us. All of us have been called for that ministry to be priests. I believe the Israelites, were not only the Levite nation, but all of them were supposed to be priests to represent God to all of the world. And then the angel of the Lord, many people, I also believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's written with a capital A in the New King James Version. And you'll see now as well why I say this is Jesus, that the angel of the Lord was standing there, and to his right was standing Satan, who wanted to accuse Joshua. Now, interesting for me is that Jesus stands in the middle. Here's Satan, here's the Father. Satan accuses, Jesus is the mediator. He stands in the middle, and God the Father, he stands there. He's the judge, he's the Father. Now, verse 2 says, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?'" So Joshua doesn't even say anything to God. He doesn't say, "Lord, I repent of my sin. I'm sorry that I'm a bad person. I've done all these bad things." God, on his behalf, rebukes Satan. He says, "The Lord rebuke you. This man I have plucked out of the fire. He was supposed to go to hell, but because of me, he's not. He's a brand, he's a stick that was meant to be in the fire. I've taken him out of the fire." Also interesting for me is that the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. So God is not only for the person, but He's for the cities.
Amen.
God's heart is to redeem everybody. It's to redeem the Strand, Somerset West, Gordon's Bay, Cape Town, the Western Cape, this country. God's heart is to redeem nations and individuals.
Amen.
He's got that capacity. He can. But that should be our heart as well. Not to just redeem ourselves, but to redeem our neighbor, the people next to us, that we pray for the cities where we live, that we pray for the government. And God just showed me this week that and I had to repent because I'm not praying for the ANC. And he says, if you pray for your government, you will live peaceable lives. And we see them as our enemy many times. And I had to repent of that. And I just realized that we must pray for our government. We must pray for the ANC. If we think they're the enemy, go and repent of that. They are there because God had placed them there. Because we're not praying. We must be praying for our government. Now, to continue verse 3. Now, Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. Now, the high priest had this the most beautiful garments of special materials. And he was standing before God. But our best is still a filthy garments before God. Yes. The best that we can bring is filthy. And that word filthy actually means excrement. So, if you don't know what that means, come and talk to me later. So, our best is that before God. So, that's how he was filthy. He was standing filthy before the God. But it's also a state of our sinfulness, of our weakness, that we can't save ourselves. We can't sort ourselves out. We can't. Only God can. And it's only because of his presence that we get changed. Only Jesus changes us. In verse 4, it says, and the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold. Now the angel of the Lord speaks, I have taken away your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. In other words, and this is why I believe this is Jesus, because only Jesus can take away our sin. He takes away our iniquity, and then he clothes him with a pure vestment or a pure garment. He puts something new, it makes him pure, he makes him righteous before God. And I just also believe for us as Christians that we must understand the power of the blood of Jesus. It's nuclear power. The blood of Jesus is huge. That we understand the authority that we have because of the blood of Jesus. That we understand our authority because of the name of Jesus. Amen. And that we understand the word of God. How powerful it is. Someone asked me, they're standing in faith for God and for healing, but it's not coming through. But I really believe it's because of faith. Because we doubt that God heals. We must believe that God heals. And with me as well, I went through this really, this really challenged me so much when my son wasn't getting healed as I wanted him. And I started doubting that God loves me. And I think this is a fight that all as Christians will go through, that we start thinking that he doesn't care for me. But we must have faith that who God is, he is. That he says, I'm the healer, that he is the healer. In his presence, we get changed. Then verse 5 says that Jesus will always be there for us. When it says, and he said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and they clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. Now the angel of the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, is standing by. He's always there. He will never leave us. He will not forsake us. Don't fear nor be dismayed. He will be there. Doesn't matter what you go through. If you go through the valley of shadow of death, he will always be with you. He's always there for you. Whenever you turn, say, look, God, help. He will be there to help, to be there. Now, this turban is this material that they wrap on over your head. But for the priest, it also said apparently the holiness of the Lord. Maybe can confirm that. It said the holiness of the Lord. Now for me, they put a clean turban on his head. Holiness starts here in our mind. We must take every thought captive. We must have our minds renewed. Because I don't know if anyone can identify with me. When I started going to church, I had this filthy thoughts in my mind. I was so scared someone could listen to what I was thinking, because it was disgusting. It was really terrible. And it took a long time for my mind to be renewed. So when you go and sleep, you get these filthy thoughts in your mind. And you think, I'm just such a bad person. Because how can I think this? And now you become a cell leader, but you have this filthy thoughts. And it took me a long time to realize that God needs to renew our minds. You must take the thoughts captive and say, God, I know this is not from you. This is from the devil. He's accusing me. He's putting these thoughts in my mind to distract me. And I repent of this and I bind it and I cut it off. And I declare that you're a good and a holy God. And this is why God comes and he puts this thing over our mind so that our minds can get focused. The battlefield is in your mind. It's because you stand against doubt. You believe. You speak the word. It's all in your mind. It's what happens here. That is what will happen in your future. It's what you think you will be. So God comes and He puts a new turban on our head so that our minds can be renewed, that we can be focused on God. And that's also why it says the helmet of salvation, because the battlefield is here. It's to attack your mind. It's to take your mind out. And this is why when we read the word, it washes our mind. When you hear people talk, it's for your mind that gets renewed. Then verse 6, Jesus is our confidence. Zechariah 3 verse 6 says, and the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua. Now solemnly, from those of you who are Afrikaans like me, means seriously, without a doubt. And He comes and He gives us a guarantee. He gives us confidence. He gives us certainty. And He gives us trust that we can believe in Him. So Jesus comes and He, without a doubt, comes and gives us the trust that we come into His presence. He gives us the trust. Verse 7 is about obedience. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge. So this talks about obedience, that we listen. And I met this man on Thursday morning, or not met, I've known him a while, but I haven't seen him. And this man asked us, where does obedience start? And the one guy said, it starts with sacrifice. And he said, no, it starts with listening. If you don't listen, you can't be obedient. So that was that's such a powerful, very godly man. But you can just see over the years, this man has been changed by the presence of God. It's what he speaks. I could sit in his presence all the time just to listen to who he is. But then he says, if we are obedient, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you the right of access amongst those who are standing here. So there's something powerful that happens in our obedience, that we actually get to rule the spirit. We will rule the things that are spiritual. And now, Derek Prince said, the most powerful men in this world are those people to whom God listens when they pray. That's the most powerful people in this world. That you can pray a government into being. Or not. So you're actually more powerful than any person, any secret society, any person out there, if you understand the authority that we have in Christ, that we understand the blood of Christ, that we understand who we are, who we've been called to be in Christ. Now, this man, he was Derek Prince. I think he was born in 1903, you know, but he died in 2003. He got saved by reading the Bible. He was a professor in Hebrew and Greek, but he didn't serve God. And as he read the word, he became saved, and he started praying because just of what the word is saying. And he realized they were in the Second World War, and the British officers were drinking lots of water, and they were drinking whiskey and water, but the men were only allowed to drink 1 liter of water every 2 days, and that included the shaving as well. And he just thought, this is wrong. And he started praying, said, God, you put government in place. I want to bring this before you. And apparently, in 2 weeks after that, the general of the army of Britain in Africa, his plane got shot down. And Montgomery was put in place, in his place. And Montgomery was unknown. No one knew who he was. And Churchill took a chance on this man. And this man won the war in the desert in Africa. And God spoke to Derek Prince, and he said, it's because you have prayed. And he said, many people will say, I was arrogant. But he wasn't. He was just confident in who his God was. That he knew what he prays, God will do. And I really believe this is the same is given for us, that we can pray for the ANC, not to replace them, but for them to get spirit-filled and saved. And this is what we should pray, that we pray, because let's face it, the reason why they're there, lots of it is our ancestors' fault as well. So we should pray and let God redeem all of us through this. Now when we talk, verse 8 says, when you rule the spiritual authority, he says, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are assigned. And I really believe this verse here, God is prophetically talking about us, our friends, our families, that we are accountable to one another, that we cannot stand by ourselves, that we're not meant to be by ourselves, but we are meant to be family, that we're meant to be the family of God, that is for the church as well, and the different churches that God has called us to be together, to be as friends. And they will be a sign, that they will be a sign to us, that God has given to us, that God put men over your and women over your path to speak into your life and also into whose life you can speak. That we are meant to be believers and we're not meant to separate ourselves from other believers. Then he says, behold, I will bring my servant, the branch. Now the branch is chamach, is the Hebrew word. It means sprout, growth, branch, and it's from the branch of David. It's meant the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer that's meant to come. This is who he's talking about. This is about Jesus who is going to come. But Jesus is the foundation of our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Zechariah 3 verse 9 says, behold, on the stone that I've set before you, Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. Now the stone, Jesus was the cornerstone that was rejected. And in the stone with seven eyes, I thought the seven eyes were the seven churches in Revelations, which it probably could be. But what I actually believe in Isaiah 11, it says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. And the branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's the seven eyes. I believe the Holy Spirit, that God will give us Jesus, our rock, our foundation, the foundation of our faith, and the Holy Spirit to help us in all things, to counsel us, to do all things. And then there will be an inscription on his head when he was crucified, the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he will remove the iniquity in a single day. When Jesus hung on the cross, he removed the iniquity for all of us in a single day. Up to that time, they had to sacrifice animals for sins to be removed. That day, it was removed forever. So, if you're still struggling with sin, I just want to bring you back to the cross. That is where your deliverance, your healing, your breakthrough is back on the cross. Isaiah 53 talks, you must read Isaiah 53, but it says that Jesus was despised and rejected by men. That Jesus bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And his wounds were healed. By his wounds we were healed. And the Lord, the Father, laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He didn't moan when he was going through all this suffering. And then it says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the Father's will to crush his own son. And out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make out many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Because of Jesus, we become righteous, because he has taken our iniquities, our sin, our bad things. He's taken upon us so that we can become righteous before God. Now, the last verse of Zechariah 3 verse 10 says, in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under the vine and the fig tree. Now, the vine and the fig tree, just do a search on it. You'll see it's always to do with prosperity, with peace in the land, with good things to come. The vine and the fig tree. It talks about men that sits back and they can enjoy their wine and they can have fruit to eat because God's goodness, God's favor. But here it says that that day, when Jesus died on the cross, when the Savior comes, that day, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come into that place of overcoming. And I really believe this is for us as a church, as believers, that we must learn to invite people to come and meet Jesus. This is, for me, such an eye-opener as well, that we, as Christians, because of Jesus dying on the cross, we must invite other people so that they can come to the vine and the fig tree, that they can come to that place of overcoming. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. So when we call upon God, He will show us and He will tell us great things that we have not known. That third heaven, that is where He will take us. Then verse 6 says, behold, I will bring to you health and healing. And I will heal them and I will reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. So in that place, God wants to heal us. He wants to give us health. He wants to bring us to a place of abundance of prosperity and security. That is God's heart. But He wants, and that's why He says, call me and I will answer you. And He says, I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel and rebuild them as they were first. So just once again, God wants to restore not only you, but He wants to restore this land. He wants to restore this continent. He wants to restore all of it. But He wants us to stand up in authority that He has called us. And then He says, I will cleanse them from all guilt of their sin against me. And I will forgive all the guilt and the sin and the rebellion against me. So that is God's heart for us to be raised into a place of health, good living, of abundance, and He wants to remove all the guilt that we have, all the sin and the rebellion that we have. Then verse 14 of Jeremiah 13 says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, then I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely, and this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. So I just want, because Jesus died on the cross, the promises that were made to Abram becomes now our promises. We can stand on those promises. So this is not only for, when you see Judah and Israel, it's still for Judah and Israel, but it's now also for us as well. For us as South Africans or Zimbabweans or whoever we are. When we believe in Christ, those promises also now is our promises and we can stand on them. Isaiah 12 verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. And He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Our world is changing drastically. I've got a DVD to watch from Aaron. Now, I always struggle to pronounce his surname, but I think it's Giorgio from Joy magazine. And this DVD is American, but it talks about if you have a socialist government, which means the government controls everything, and you have no government, which is anarchy, because you need government. If you have the middle, the Republicans is on this side and the Democrats is on that side. And they, you know, Obama is a Democrat and Mitt Romney is a Republican. But in 50 years' time, there's an agenda that moved people's way of thinking where the Republicans now are where the Democrats were 50 years ago. The Democrats are now where the socialists are. Socialists are guys like Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong. They had full control. And this is basically setting us up for a one world order where evil forces control everything. So, and what they will do is they will create anarchy on this side so that we go, please just take control, because we don't want our streets to be full of petrol bombs and fire and people throwing stones on our N2. So we just say, just take control. So the more the government has control, the safer we feel. So what they're doing is they're actually setting us up so that they can take more control. So what they will do is they will go and fight specifically against our family values. So when you sit in front of the TV and eat with your children, you're actually doing exactly what they want, because they want your mind to be controlled by what they're feeding us. So if they want to feed us for men to go out, get drunk, and sleep with whatever women they meet, you'll see it on the television. So the men's minds get controlled that way. Now, for us, as Christians, we must stand up and start praying against this. We must really make our thoughts count, and we must pray, and we must let the truth be known. And we, as a responsibility, as married people, to show what it means to be Christians. Because no, all the heterosexual people don't want to be married, and all the gay people want to be married. Why is this? You know, so we as Christians must make people believe that it's great to be married. Not because we fake it, because that's who we are. We are in a place, and you can see there are so many single people who don't get wives. I just believe it's demonically inspired. That people who are supposed to have children already are still single waiting for the loved one that needs to come. I really believe this is something that our community is falling apart because the children don't have healthy families anymore. And there are so many families without fathers that go, and we have a responsibility as Christians when those children come and visit us that we can show them what it means to be a family. Because no one knows what it means to be a family anymore. And therefore, I really believe there's a call to us as Christians to start inviting our neighbors to say, come and see what it looks like underneath the fig and the vine and the fig tree. To see what prosperity looks like, what it means to have family values. So that even in our own families, our parents or our brothers and sisters might say, how do you do this? They won't ask you, ask me, they don't ask you, but they are confronted by it all the time. Because they know what you were like, now they see what you are like, now they don't understand it. But there are people, so we have such a responsibility to show people what it is to have Christ in us. And for me, if we're not going to do this, there will come a time when the Bible will be hate speech. There's an agenda to make this hate speech, that we will not be able to preach out of the Word of God anymore. When you look at schools, why do people get so angry about evolution? Have you ever thought about that? When they speak about evolution, it is what evolution basically says, there's no God. And we teach it to our children. We teach our children there's no God. And they grow up, and when they come to a certain age, they say, but Dad, you told me the Father Christmas was a great O, and you said to me the mouse was great. How can I believe that Jesus that I have never seen was there? I don't believe you. And they go and they say there's no God. We must stand for the truth of God. And I really believe this is why us as Christians have a responsibility to become radical, because we don't have a choice anymore. If we don't make a choice now, the choice will be made for us. But it's all about love, that we must reach out in love, that we must invite people to come. And our fight is not against flesh and blood, but the more we allow evil to go forth, the more the demonic angels will have power over us. The only way we can stop it is to reach people, to lead them to Christ, so that their hearts will be not filled with demons anymore, but by the Spirit of God. That's the only way that we can ever survive. So I want to plead to you to go and call on God. And He will answer you, and He will tell you great and hidden things that you've not known about people. He's given us these tools, the tools of prophecy, the tools of gift of healing, the word of knowledge. He's given us massive tools that we can use to reach out to people, to bring people from where they are into. There's many people here this morning, they are so drunk, they can't stand up. How would they ever come to church? We must learn to become relevant to the world. That when Jesus was called the friend of sinners, that we can be a friend of sinners without ever compromising ourselves. Because those people are going to hell. They are at this moment that the brand plucked from the fire, they're still in the fire. We must really trust God for that ability to be able to relate to people. And if you're struggling with stuff in your life, I want to urge you, sort yourself out. You can't go to counselors every day. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Get yourself sorted out, because there are so many people out there that needs God. On intercession on Friday morning, I ask people to write down names of people that we're going to pray for, that they can get saved. And soon we had 50 names. And I said to them, 50 names is 5 new cell leaders. But you can't have one cell leader discipling 10 people. You at least have need one couple with about two or three or four couples who already know the Lord. It makes it easier for the cell leader as well. So this makes it about 40 cell leaders that we need, just if those people come to Christ now. I really believe we must really get ourselves sorted out and say, God, you've died on the cross for me. You've died on the cross for me. I don't have to have depression anymore, because that's why you died on the cross for me. I can just come in your presence. And as I search and seek God's presence, God will make these things fall into being for all of us. I really believe this is God's heart for all of us. So I just want to finish with this last scripture, Jeremiah 17, verse 14, that says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. So this morning, maybe you need healing, and Deirdre is here, because I'm going to upset her. No, I'm just joking. She had amazing training on how to do counseling, and the one thing that she said is time. Time is important, that when a tree gets broken, you put something next to it, and you bind it up, and it needs time to grow. Definitely, I agree 100% with that. But I also believe there's a place that we stand and trust the power of God, where you lay hands on someone, they get healed instantly. Because that's what I see when Jesus laid hands on people, that we as well, we come and say, God, heal me, because time is over, I believe. I just see more and more, it's just dragging us more and more into darkness. But I believe God wants to raise up a new standard that's much bigger than what the world can bring. Because the Spirit of God, the Spirit in us, is much bigger than that which is in the world. So if you can just stand with me. Yes, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your favor, Lord. But Father, this morning, Lord God, I just feel an urgency in my heart, Lord, and that dream that I had and that Tian had as well, that just showed this tsunami coming in, and he saw earthquakes and lava and stuff, Lord God. And that scripture that you gave Haggai, Lord, that said that you will shake the earth, Lord. And there's this other scripture as well that we received. And this is a time, Lord, that we're not sure what's going to happen in the future, Lord God. But I have this one promise that you've given us, Lord. Even though the darkness and the enemy is bringing up, they're getting more and more, that you're going to raise a new standard, Lord. And that you are a powerful God, Lord. But the time where you are separating the goats and the sheep, Lord. And Father, that the sheep will be anointed men and women of God. Men and women, Lord, that's been cleansed, that's been in the presence of the Father. And the angel of the Lord took the garments away and gave them a new vestment. And they put a clean turban on their head, because they've been saved, they've been changed. And they walk in obedience to who you are, Lord God. And you give them authority, Lord, in the spiritual realm, Lord. And you say, whatever we ask in your name, that you will give to us, Lord. And more things than what you've done, we will do on this earth. And where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be present. Lord, that we'll come to that place, Lord, that we'll understand the authority of Christ, Lord, in us. That you have called us, Lord, not to sit and focus on ourselves, Lord, but to focus on you, Lord, and the things that are important to you. Lord God, I pray, Lord, for a new generation, Lord, of men and women like Caleb, Lord, and like Joshua, Lord, that will take the promised land, Lord. Because you said there was a different spirit in them, Lord. There was the Spirit of God that was in them. That they will not focus on their weaknesses and their sin and the stuff, Lord. But you said in your presence, as the Satan wanted to accuse us, you come and you say, I rebuke you, Satan. Because that is your grace, Lord. That's why you died on the cross, Lord. So that we don't have to care and worry and feel guilty and condemned. Because we've been rejected as children, and we've been rejected as adults, and we had all this sin and all this bad things that happened to us. But you say, no, in my presence, I change your life. You change and you become a new vessel, a vessel that will invite people to come and sit underneath the vine and the fig tree, to come into the place of prosperity that I have called you for. That you want to show us great and hidden things that we've not known. That you want to bring health and healing to us, Lord. That you want to bring us abundance of prosperity and security, Lord. that you want to restore our fortunes, Lord. And Father, even now, I just sense there are many people here with family lines where there's been people that spoken against a brother or sister and the heritage has been stolen from them. And if that is you, I just want you to come forward that we can pray for you, because I believe God wants to restore your heritage. If maybe there was a farm, or there was a piece of property, or there was an inheritance, and your father or your grandfather got bankrupt, or the brother took it away, or someone, a sister took it away, and that thing was taken away from you, and you're still angry and bitter about that. I just want you to come forward now that we can pray for you, because I believe God wants to restore. He wants to restore that for you, or if for your family. Yes, Father, we pray, Lord God, even now, Lord, for healing. Lord, so many people are standing in faith for healing, but it's not coming through, Lord. And because your anointing is here, Lord, I just sense we just come forward that we can pray and lay hands on you and anoint you, because God says you will bring health and He will bring healing and He will heal us. And maybe if you're struggling financially as well, and you want and you believe that God wants to in abundance, and I want to share with you this one man's testimony. In one day, 300,000 rand got paid into his account, because he started believing God, and he said, God, you will prosper me. And whenever there was an altar call, he came forward and he said, it hasn't happened yet, but I believe God is going to do it for me. Just pray again with me. And in one day, now the contract is coming through for this man, because he believed the word of God. If there's anyone like you that just want to stand, because God wants to sort out this stuff with you, so that you can start inviting people, that the focus is not on me anymore, but the focus is on, this is what God has done for me. Come, I want to introduce you to Jesus. God wants to sort out your stuff so that you can invite other people and bring them into the kingdom, because His heart is not only for individuals, it's not only for you, but it's for this town, it's for the city, it's for Cape Town, it's for the world, it's for the country. It's for everybody. God's heart is huge. He's got a huge heart. He hugs everyone because He loves everyone. Yes, Father, I want to speak a blessing over every person here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that even now, some people that maybe just feel that they're not ready to respond, that you will heal them, Lord. Lord, that you will heal them powerfully, Lord God, that you will give them, that you will restore them, Lord. You will restore their fortunes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord God, for miracles, that next week when we ask, people will just come forward in this week that you've done these mighty works. God has done this in my life, and I'm so excited, Lord, that people will get excited about you again, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
I just want to repent. Before, when Theo asked someone to come out and just say something about God or how good He is, the Lord just laid on my heart 7 things to praise Him about. And as Theo preached this morning, everything was like he preached in order. And just confirming what God laid on His heart for this congregation this morning.